I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Still moving and grooving here on this Thursday night edition of Overtime. It's the youngest in charge of movement, Linnell Willingham. I'll take you up to 10 o'clock before we hand things over to the Infinity Sports Network. Coming up in about 10 minutes or so, first guest set to stop by the program. Longtime friend of the show. Someone that I'll dub our official Overtime Commanders insider, our pal David Harrison, the host of the Locked On Commanders podcast. He was out there, boots on the ground at training camp practice today like I was. So we'll pick his brain on what he saw through the first 2 days of action. That's coming up at about 8:15 or so. We've talked all things defense for the Washington Commanders, specifically Jamin Davis and Emmanuel Forbes. Those two, quite frankly, not to be harsh here, need to have a bounce back 2024 campaign, point blank. For Jamin, if he can't figure it out at edge rusher, some folks seem to think his roster spot may be in jeopardy. I'm not willing to go that far, but I don't think it'd be a good look if you make a position switch and you fail at it. So we'll see how Jamin continues to make that transition as the rest of camp continues to play out. I didn't get to watch him with a keen eye today, but yesterday, be real with it, man. That's the one thing about me, that there's nobody that's going to cancel me. There's nobody that's going to take the mic from out in front of me. Jamin stunk yesterday. I call it for what it is. I call a spade a spade. And I know the players are in the building from 7 to 7, so they may be listening right now. But I stand on what I say. He did not look good yesterday. Today, the one rep I did see him, he got engulfed by Brandon Coleman trying to do a spin move. Be better. I think he has a chance to bounce back. I think he has a chance to be a good edge rusher. I just wouldn't put any coin on it. It's the best way that I can describe it. But him and Emmanuel Forbes definitely in need of a bounce back here. If you want to tap in on that conversation, still phone lines open. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Which one of those two guys, Jamin Davis or Emmanuel Forbes, do you have more confidence in relative to bouncing back in 2024? The big reason for optimism, though, for this 2024 Washington Commanders team is the first-round pick, former Heisman Trophy-winning quarterback Jayden Daniels out of LSU, set college football on fire the past two seasons. He's now here in Washington. And up to this point, and we're going into day three of training camp tomorrow, up to this point, he has passed every test this offseason with flying colors. He simply has. He has been as advertised, and I'm willing to go out and say he's even been better than advertised. I continue to say it. Some of you out there, we had great conversation earlier today on the Team 980, myself and Chris Russell. If you have reservations, if you have doubts about how good Jayden Daniels can be, I understand. I understand completely. We have been scorned. Right? It's like being in an abusive relationship. That is how it has been at quarterback here in D.C. As soon as you trust somebody, they show you their true colors. You know what I'm saying? We thought Robert Griffin III was the savior. We thought Kirk Cousins was going to be here long term. We thought Dwayne Haskins, God rest his soul, was going to be the long term answer. Now I got to buy into another young quarterback? I understand why some of you are like, hell no. I can't get on board with it. You got to be better than that, though. You got to understand that the selection of this young quarterback was unlike the previous two first-round quarterbacks selected for a bevy of different reasons. One, this regime actually wanted to take him. The football evaluators in the building, Adam Peters, Lance Newmark, Dan Quinn, Cliff Kingsbury, they actually wanted Jaden Daniels. God rest his soul, but Dwayne Haskins was not wanted by Washington's coaching staff. Jay Gruden did not want Dwayne Haskins. Their head of scouting did not want Dwayne Haskins. Dan Snyder wanted Dwayne Haskins. Point blank, period. And obviously we know how it ended up playing out. Back in 2012, I don't think Mike and Kyle Shanahan wanted Robert Griffin III. I think Dan Snyder, as we all know, heavily influenced that pick. So much so that Mike and Kyle said, oh, you don't choose the quarterback for me? I got one even better for you. I'll take another quarterback who I really want in the fourth round in Kirk Cousins out of Michigan State. And we all know the way their two careers have played out. One's still playing, still thriving as a top 10 to 12 guy in the league. The other is on ESPN cracking corny-ass jokes. See what I'm saying? So when a organization is invested in a guy from the top down, more likely that he's able to succeed. But even from a football standpoint, as great of a passer as Dwayne Haskins was, as dynamic of a weapon as Robert Griffin III was, they are no Jaden Daniels. They're just not. And I've used this line all offseason. I've been relatively consistent with this. When you described Robert Griffin III, if I asked you to describe RG3, what's the first thing that you would say? Well, he can run his ass off. He's got a great deep ball. He's elusive. Dwayne Haskins. Urban Meyer dubbed Dwayne Haskins the best 7-on-7 quarterback he had ever seen in his life. Had a smile that could light up a room. Had a deep ball that was one of the best in the National Football League from day one. With Jaden Daniels, it's different. See, with Jaden Daniels, the first thing people talk about is the work ethic. Getting to the facility at 5:45 a.m. each day. Being the first guy on the practice field each and every day. The little things matter to this young man. I go back to the virtual reality stuff with him. Something that, honestly, we had not heard of assisting a big-time college quarterback until Jaden Daniels. So, for him to be willing to leave no stone unturned to find greatness, that's why I love the kid. I can't get enough of him. I think he has every opportunity to break the generational curse that has been the quarterback position here in D.C. And yeah, I'm calling it how it is. It has been a generational curse. Patrick Ramsey, Jason Campbell, Robert Griffin III, Dwayne Haskins, not good enough. So this is different to me. This is different to me. He understands it and is further along than those two guys or those four guys I just listed from the neck up. He gets it. He's a football junkie. He is a football nerd. So you can't be an average Joe at the quarterback position. You can't be on U Street on Saturday night before the game as the starting quarterback of the Washington Commanders. You can't be enamored by other things outside of football. You've got to be all football all the time, I think, to be an elite quarterback. And you talk to all of the greats. They eat, breathe, and sleep ball. There's a story. Maybe we can play the audio for you a little bit later on in the show. C.J. Stroud from last year. Their offensive coordinator, Bobby Slowick, had to tell CJ's ass to go to bed, get more rest, because he's up late at night grinding tape. That is why that young man was able to hit the ground running last year and turn around the Houston Texans the way that he did. I think Jaden's got the exact same opportunity. And based off what you continue to hear through the grapevine, and now I'm getting to see it each and every day, he's the last guy off the practice field every day. He's the first guy out there. And he ain't just doing it so John Keim can tweet about it. He ain't just doing it so we can talk about it on the radio. He's doing it because that is what he knows. See, his story to me is excellent. Because the first year in Baton Rouge, it wasn't pretty. He didn't hit the ground running as the quarterback of the LSU Tigers. He didn't. Year one for him was a little bit of a struggle. And then last year, he wins the Heisman. So this is a young man that isn't complacent. This is a young man that understands, hey, look, I am in control of how well I am, of how good I am, of how well I can play. He's in control of that, and he understands it. And I think for him, carrying that work ethic to the NFL level is going to ensure that he has a long career. One of the lines of the offseason, we played it earlier. It was our gal from YahooSports.com, Jory Epstein, talked about how when she had a sit-down with Dan Quinn, he told her that, yeah, we gave Jaden a 24-hour key fob to the facility because we don't want him to be limited in his ability to put in work. And that is why that young man is great. The jump that he made from year one to year two at LSU should give you all of the confidence that the kid's going to do what it takes to work. Do what it takes to succeed, rather. Brian Kelly runs a pro-style offense at LSU. 17 touchdowns, 3 interceptions in year one, threw for just 2,900 yards. Year two, 40 touchdowns to just 4 interceptions, throws for 3,800 yards. That is an unprecedented jump. He threw 23 more touchdowns in year number two because he put the work in. And to me, that is what matters the most. But I can sit up here and tell you what I think about Jaden Daniels all day long. The most important voice in this decision, I would think, is the head coach of the Washington Commanders, Dan Quinn. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, let's hear from Dan Quinn and what he's thinking about Jaden Daniels. You know what? Scratch that. Let's do it now. Because we do have our pal David Harrison coming up on the other side of the break. Let's get to it. Dan Quinn, earlier this morning, talking about what Jaden Daniels improved on from the spring to now.
Well, one, I saw, I thought he had a really strong day, a lot of completion, good throws. When you get into the red zone, there's, you know, kind of two things that can happen. There's a first play and then a second play that can take place. And so seeing the guys get outside the pocket and move a little bit, I thought that was good. You know, all the quarterbacks were able to get outside and get going. So that was a byproduct of having the red zone come in. The communication happens faster. The throws happen faster. So I thought it was a good way to get started.
Commanders head coach Dan Quinn liking what he's seeing to this point from rookie quarterback Jaden Daniels. We'll get our pal David Harrison's opinion on Jaden Daniels coming up next here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It's Overtime on 106.7 The Fan. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. It's the Youngest in Charge movement. Lynette Willingham taking you up to 10 o'clock, about an hour and a half left to go in the program before we hand things over to the Infinity Sports Network. Right now, though, as promised, going to take our talents to the BetQL guest hotline. So we find our pal David Harrison, our official Overtime Commanders insider here on 106.7 The Fan. He is the host of the Locked On Commanders podcast. Make sure you give them a follow on the old X app at DHarrison82. David, what's going on, my brother?
What's up, man? How you been?
I'm good. So are you staying at the team hotel? Or are you just in the area permanently? Not permanently, before camp.
No, I'm driving from my house every day. Wow. It's not that far.
Okay, so you're making a little bit of a commute. The comfortability, the sense of urgency that you got, my man, to get out on the practice field. Obviously, we brought you on to get your thoughts through the first 2 days of training camp for the Washington Commanders. We were just talking all things Jayden Daniels before we brought you on. One thing that, you know, I discussed earlier today with Chris Russell was the fact that Washington is yet to name Jayden Daniels the starting quarterback, but it's been very clear through the first 2 days of practice, David, that Jayden Daniels right now seems, I don't know if I'm being hyperbolic here, seems head and shoulders better than Marcus Mariota.
No, he absolutely is. I mean, he looks, you know, every bit of what you would expect from a number two overall pick. The athleticism flashes from time to time. The thing that you like is that he's not leaning on it too much in practice. You know, obviously there's no threat of actually being hit, or at least there's not supposed to be a threat of actually being hit, so that adds an air to it. But, you know, there have been quarterbacks in the past who, not, you know, necessarily always in Washington, but just in NFL history, there have been quarterbacks in the past that have athleticism and lean on it a little too much, even when the contact is not a threat. So it's good to see Jayden not only leaning on his arm, but doing it with decisiveness and doing it with accuracy and doing it consistently. And I think that's really kind of what has stood out the most as far as, you know, differing between Jayden and Marcus, is that Jayden is making a lot of very quick decisions, and they're the right decisions. And even when he's missing in a way that you look at it and say, I'm glad you gave your guy a chance to make a play, and you did it in a smart way.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think you summed it up perfectly. There is a decisiveness that he has shown through the first two practices that really give you the confidence that, hey, look, this guy is ready when they officially name him the starter, and we assume that happens sometime before the regular season opener against Tampa Bay. But, David, I got to ask you the million-dollar question. From your vantage point, and you're someone that's covered multiple quarterback competitions and covered training camps before in your career, what is the hesitancy? Why is Dan Quinn and company reluctant to name Jayden the starter at this point?
Because it's not necessary. You know, and honestly, like going back to when we first started talking to not just Dan Quinn but also Adam Peters, but they've been consistent in that messaging, you know, from Jump Street, is not putting things ahead of where they need to be. You know, when it came time to bringing in the new coaches and bringing in the new staff and evaluating the players that were going to be on the roster, the players that they could re-sign, and then getting into the free agent pool and getting in, you know, they also had to study the NFL draft. Like Adam Peters said, you know, he hadn't watched a whole lot of quarterback tape because he was in San Francisco. They have Brock Purdy. They don't really need to watch a lot of quarterback tape or college prospects. So he had to catch up on that. Like, you know, but they emphasize, like, you know, we're going to go to the Senior Bowl. And obviously Dan Quinn is hired in that window. And now we're going to talk about the guys that we have. We're going to flesh out the coaching staff. Like, so it's just everything in its due time. And right now there's no pressure because of the NFL calendar to name a starter. And, you know, I think that's just kind of just the way they operate. And I think that's been consistent, you know, from the time they got here. But also, when you look at it from like a public perception, you know, standpoint, the second you name him the starter, the second you say he's our number one guy, yes, he's our future franchise quarterback and all these things, you know, every interception weighs heavier. Every incompletion is more noticeable, all those things. And I don't even think it necessarily would be a change in Jayden Daniels himself. It's just the change in the way that those of us watching him would then see him when you are the starter versus, well, we all know you're going to be the starter. There's still a pretty big difference in the two.
For sure. And I think, to your point, like, he's got the temperament to where I don't think his work ethic is going to change once he's named the starter. I don't think he is going to all of a sudden do anything different. He's a guy that from the moment he got here, David, as you know, has been all ball all the time. And I think that is what has gotten the respect of his teammates and coaching staff so quickly here. I want to flip things over to the defensive side of the football. It's what we were talking about before we entered this conversation about Jayden Daniels. Dan Quinn was pretty detailed earlier today, talking more about the transition that Jamin Davis has made from linebacker to edge rusher. I know it's only 2 days. I know it's something that's going to be a drawn-out process, but from my vantage point, the first 2 days, it just doesn't look like he's going to be able to make that transition as seamlessly as we all may have anticipated.
Yep.
What have you seen from him the first 2 days, and do you see a scenario in which Dan Quinn and company go, you know what, we tried you here, let's move you back to somewhere we know you're more comfortable at?
You know, I don't know that there is a point for this coaching staff to move him away from the edge cross training altogether, to be quite honest with you, because I don't know that this scheme and this staff necessarily sees that kind of a future for him with this organization, like with this group. You know, you brought in a guy like Frankie Louvu for a reason, and they went to the draft and got McGee, and they brought in some other guys like Pittman, and you got Bobby Wagner. Like, there's a lot of traffic there in that room right now, and certainly, you know, they want to still keep him, you know, working on his linebacker skills and all that, because you never know what's going to happen through the course of the season. But I do really think that this team, and this isn't them saying, this is just kind of the vibe that I get. I think that, you know, the future for Jamin Davis is really filling that kind of a Micah Parsons type role. Not that he's going to be Micah Parsons, but just fit that role. And, you know, he's got the athleticism for it. I think right now we're all just kind of in the, we see the potential that can be there phase of it, you know. And I think that what I get really excited about, and it's something that I talked to Jamin about on Wednesday, and the reason that I asked Dan Quinn my Jamin Davis specific question on Thursday, is because when I'm watching him go through the drills, like I'm watching him do linebacker drills, I'm watching him do edge drills, and he's getting coached, and he's getting coached very deliberately, right? Like not rough, like, you know, Ryan Kerrigan's not like grabbing him and be like, listen here, scrub, like nothing like that. But like, he's getting very, very deliberate coaching. And this is a first round draft pick, right? And it can be very easy for a first round draft pick to be like, I was a number one pick from an NFL team, all these other things. But Jamin is taking it in. Like he's eye contact. His head is north and south. He's listening. And something that really stood out to me is he gets this coaching from Ryan Kerrigan. He does the drill a second time. He goes back. He gets a little bit more coaching from Ryan Kerrigan. He comes to the sideline, and Dorrance Armstrong immediately is right there. And it's like, okay, let's continue talking about this. And, you know, I can't share what was discussed, but, you know, I talked to Jamin a little bit about that. He actually educated me about what he was being educated on, right? And it's just a really fun process to watch. How successful it's going to be, again, we're not going to be able to, I don't think, get a really firm grasp on that until Pat's come on, at least. So, you know, joint practice is the first chance I think we can all really start to put a gauge on how successful it's really going to be. But at the minimum in this stage, everybody that's part of that process is invested in it, and I think that's the best thing you can take from it right now.
For sure. I'm rooting for the kid. I personally have some doubts about whether or not he is physically mature enough to play big-time snaps on the edge. We'll see, obviously, as the rest of training camp continues to play out. I want to keep things on the defensive side of the football. Another first-round pick in the Ron Rivera era, the most recent one, Emmanuel Forbes Jr., the cornerback out of Mississippi State. Up and down rookie year, I thought he really lacked confidence, you know, after he was benched in that game against Philadelphia. I happen to think with William Gay and Jason Simmons and Joe Witt Jr., he is surrounded right now by the best coaching he's ever been around in his whole career, going back to college and high school as well. From what you've seen from him the first 2 days, how confident are you, not that he can become some top-flight corner in the league, but that he is a starter in the National Football League? Because I think based off of the way we saw him look last year, there were some legit questions about whether or not he belonged.
Yeah, how confident am I that he is a starter in the National Football League?
Yeah.
That, I would probably put it like a 33%.
Wow.
You know, how confident am I that he could be a starter in the National Football League? I'll put that more at like a 60, maybe a 66% range, because, you know, some of the skills that you need in a cornerback are there, right? Like every snap, doesn't matter if it's, we talked about this, it doesn't matter if it's man coverage, zone coverage, whatever it starts off as, eventually it turns into man coverage, right? And Emmanuel Forbes has demonstrated man coverage ability going back to his college tape and all those things. And before, his confidence, at least in my perception, was really just kind of totally lost last season. You saw flashes of that as well. He's got ball skills. Again, that's been proven as well. And he's got the willingness to kind of get in there and get dirty. You know, again, the size thing and the weight and all that, that's never going to go away for him. He's always going to be getting asked about that. Even if, like, honestly, Emmanuel Forbes can become an All-Pro, and when he does his press conference following his first team All-Pro selection, he's going to be asked, what does it take for a guy your size to become a first team All-Pro? Like, he's always going to be asked about his size. So it's just never going to go away. But I think, again, you know, talking about where we are in the process here and the fact that, you know, he can't hit anybody. And even when he goes up to defend the pass, he's got to be, you know, a little careful. Like, you don't want to be knocking your own guys around trying to make a play on defense at this stage of training camp. You know, I think that the key thing is, and I noticed this today, he's playing fast. Like, at the end of the day, he's playing fast. And that's right. What every football coach at every level is going to always want out of their player is when you're – if you're doing what I'm asking you to do to the best of your ability and as quickly as you can on a football field, then I can work with you. It's when you're second-guessing what I'm telling you, when you go outside the script, or when you're not giving maximum effort because of whatever reason, that's when it becomes hard to work with you. And so, you know, even like today, like Emmanuel had a couple of good plays. He also got burned, you know, by Terry McLaurin. And, you know, Emmanuel's not the only cornerback to get burned by Terry McLaurin, so that's going to happen. But what you like in Emmanuel is that every single snap he's out there, he's going full speed. So when they go back to the classroom, whatever his coaches have to tell him, they're using the best tape that he can give them right now. And again, I think you actually put it on social media, right? You saw him working with Coach Simmons the first day on footwork. And again, like he's a first round draft pick, and he's out there like they're not in the back. Like you didn't have to go hunt for them, right? Like they're right there, right where everybody is. So this isn't like a, you know, the egos are all in check here. Like Emmanuel's not saying, hey, coach, can we go do this, you know, behind the woods over there so nobody sees me? Like, and he's out there trying to get the footwork better. So again, everybody's invested in the process. And I think, you know, day two of training camp, no pads, no contact, that's really the best you can ask for. So for that reason, and the fact that the raw tools are still there, that were there in Mississippi State, there's definitely a chance. You know what I mean? Sure. Will it happen? I can't tell you that, but there's definitely a chance it could happen.
So before I, you know, officially turned the camera on and got the interview going, I got to talk to him a little bit off the record. The one takeaway that I have, obviously physically, he looks bigger and more mature. But there is a massive chip on his shoulder because he's a younger cat. He's on social media. He had to delete the social media last year because he was looking at it too much. He reads all the comments, and I think he's a guy that uses it as motivation. I'm super eager to see how quickly he is able to turn things around and whether or not he's able to bounce back fully coming into this 2024 campaign. We're joined right now on the BetQL guest hotline by our pal David Harrison, the host of the Locked On Commanders podcast. You can get that on YouTube, wherever you download your podcast, as well as WUSA9.com. Make sure you give him a follow on the X app at DHarrison82. We're going to keep things on defense here. Joe Witt Jr. and company coming over, bringing in this new defense from Dallas. They want to play fast. They want to turn people over. What have you seen from the defense as a whole through all three units, the first-teamers, the second-teamers, and the third-teamers, the first-teamers, second-teamers, and third-teamers, rather, through the first 2 days of camp here? Because one thing that I continue to notice, and it's something that, you know, I talked about earlier in the offseason, they got to find different ways to impact the quarterback. And we've seen through the first 2 days, they are not going to be shy about bringing extra guys to blitz.
Oh, absolutely. Sam Crosby talked about that in his post-practice press conference, that there's guys coming from everywhere. We saw Cleveland Farrell on Thursday, who is not known as a pass rush. Like his kind of bread and butter is being like a gap filler and a stout run stopper and all that stuff. But he's getting in the backfield quick, which, you know, I said on my own show, is either really good for Cleveland Farrell or really bad for this offensive line. I don't know which one it is yet, but we'll find out. But yeah, everybody's out there running fast. Everybody out there is playing fast. And again, that's what every coach wants to see. We talked to Quan Martin, the free safety after. I'm confident now. I'm just going to call him a free safety. I'm going to stop calling him a DB. I'm just going to call him a free safety at this point. You know, and that's something that he talked about as well, is coming in and playing fast and just learning, you know, making the mistakes that you're going to make, but learn from them and then go out there and do it better. And there was a really cool rep. And I asked Frankie Luvu about his communication with Bobby Wagner, because, you know, they have history before being on the same team here, being in the Pacific Northwest at the same time when Frankie was at Washington State and Bobby was at Seattle. So they've got history together. And so I asked him about the communication. He said, you know, there's times where they don't even talk. Like they just kind of know. They just kind of have this vibe and this connection where they just kind of know where each other's going to be. But there was a specific rep in the team's portion of the practice today where I don't know which one, but I do know that one of those two linebackers blew a coverage because, you know, one of the coaches specifically pointed it out and said, you can't do what you just did. again, I don't know who he was talking to, but it was either Bobby or Frankie. And immediately, you know, and in some cases with this team and with other teams that I've covered in the past, like you see a play get blown. The way I've always put it is like the guy that blows the play puts his head down, turns away from his teammate. Yeah. The guy closest to him throws his hands up and says, "Oh man, what the heck?" And the guy furthest from him just shakes his head and says, "Ain't nothing I could do about that." And they move on to the next play. But in this situation, with these two guys, who are two of the guys who are expected to be part of the new leadership of this team, that's not what happened at all. They blew the play. The coach said, "Hey, you blew this play. Here's why you blew this play." The two guys got together and they conversed and they said, "Okay, how do we fix that from the future?" And, you know, again, short, you know, small sample size from there to the end of practice, but that mistake didn't happen again. And again, that just kind of goes back to everything else we talked about. Like, everybody has an ego, right? Like, I've always kind of had this saying where the most egotistical thing somebody can say is that I don't have an ego, because what you're telling people is you're not human. You're different than every other human on the planet, which is the most egotistical thing you can say. Everybody has an ego, but the egos are in check. And that's the important part, is you have these two veterans that can mess up, one of them can mess up a play, and they just come together and say, "Hey, how do we mess up? How do we fix it? How do we get better? Boom, let's go get it done," instead of just throwing our hands up or shaking our head or whatever we're going to do in defeat. It's about getting better in the moment, not about being perfect the moment before it.
For sure. Flipping things over to the offensive side of the football, I think there's this thought process, David, of because you have a number two overall pick at quarterback, because you have an offensive coordinator that is known for his ability to dial things up in the pass game, there's this thought process that Washington maybe is going to come out and throw the football 35, 40 times per contest. This backfield of Brian Robinson and Austin Ekeler, what do you think they have the potential to do together? And then how important is it to you, David, that they get off to a good start when it comes to this running attack?
I think it's incredibly important, you know, not just for the young quarterback, but also the offensive line, right? A defense that can't pin their ears back and just bring the pressure every single snap. A defense that's got to respect the play action and respect the versatility of the backfield, like that's absolutely crucial to supporting a young quarterback. And, you know, I don't think the fans have started to come up with like a nickname for this backfield, but you've got like a little bit of a smash and dash type of thing going on there. Yeah. You know, and I think that, you know, if Cliff Kingsbury dials up, you know, more than 25 passes in a game, then I think the defense is going to have to answer for a lot of that. You know what I mean? I think that's really good. I don't think by design, that's really what it's going to be about. And then even if, you know, Coach Kingsbury does dial up, you know, 28, 29, 30 pass plays with Jaden's athleticism, you know, I don't think there's much of a need until Jaden shows you that it is not just a need but a weapon that you should use and use regularly. That obviously changes things. But, you know, you have questions on the offensive line, and a strong running game can help that. You know, keeping tight ends in, we saw them, you know, do some big set things, you know, so far during camp, and every team obviously installs those. But I think there are some people out there that if you heard us say we saw a Cliff Kingsbury offense with a big set, they'd be a little bit surprised by it. You know, there was during the game management portion of the practice, there was a 3rd-and-1 run. You know, clock's running down, under a minute left. You need a touchdown to win the game, and it's 3rd-and-1. And instead of going to the air, which I think most people would expect a, you know, stereotypical Coach Kingsbury offense to do, they ran the ball, used the timeout, and gave themselves 4 more downs to score the winning touchdown, which, and again, I've been playing with this game-winning touchdown thing all day, but, you know, it's practice, but that's the scenario, right? The scenario is we are going to win this game or lose, and they won the game. So, you know, I that kind of stood out to me, and maybe I made more of it, you know, to myself than other people would, but I think it's an important thing to look at and say that, you know, even though he comes from an air raid background and all those things, like this whole coaching staff's mantra is do what's best for the players, do what's best for this team. And if this offense shows that they're the strongest when their running backs are getting 25 touches combined minimum, then I think Coach Kingsbury will gladly do that. I think his history shows that. In Arizona, he had some really heavy run game seasons with the Arizona Cardinals. I think personally, like, you know, again, game flow depending, this running back stable should touch the ball 30 times a game. And I say touch it because carries, short passes, whatever it is, I don't care. But 30 times a game, these two backs specifically should be touching the ball.
For sure. And I think the one thing that's going to scare some folks when I say this, but look, I think they're going to, it may not be a bunch of design runs for Jaden Daniels, but they're not going to be able to see a lot of too high looks. You're not going to be able to play a whole bunch of quarters against them. There's only so many defenses you can play against a quarterback that is dynamic as Jaden Daniels as a runner. So I think there are going to be some natural scrambles that you see in there as well that impact the overall numbers of this rushing game. David, I appreciate you giving us some time. As always, my friend, I will see you out there tomorrow, my brother.
Yes, sir.
That's David Harrison, the host of the Locked On Commanders podcast. Make sure you give him a follow on the X app at dharrison82. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, former Commanders head coach Jay Gruden had some interesting thoughts about his expectations for Jayden Daniels in year one here in Washington. That's next on The Fan. Still rocking and rolling here on this Thursday night edition of Overtime's The Youngest in Charge Movement. Linnell Willingham will take you up to 10 o'clock before we dish things over to the Infinity Sports Network. Coming up in about 10, 15 minutes, our pal JP Acosta, who covers the NFL for SB Nation, is set to join us. We'll take a big picture look at the National Football League. The Washington Commanders, not the only team across the NFL that has officially reported for training camp. We'll take a pit stop and talk about the Giants. We'll talk about the Cowboys, as well as some of the other teams in the National Football League. I would say this about this year's NFL training camp and this year's NFL season in particular. It is the Kansas City Chiefs and everyone else. Patrick Mahomes and company looking to make history, trying to become the first team in NFL history to three-peat. And as I've said all offseason long, and A-Mac, I know this is going to bother you, I think the Jets are the biggest threat to the Kansas City Chiefs and their three-peat. And your New York Giants, my friend, they will be residing in the basement of the NFC East. Speaking of the NFC East, the hope is that the Washington Commanders, under new quarterback Jayden Daniels, can re-enter the fray as a perennial contender for that division crown. I think there's a lot of question marks, though, about exactly how this Cliff Kingsbury offense will function with Jayden Daniels at the controls. We know the track record that Cliff Kingsbury has with working with young quarterbacks across the NFL and in college, Baker Mayfield, Pat Mahomes, Kyler Murray, you name it. He has had success in each stop he's been with young signal callers. The big question is now, how does he ensure that he gets the most out of Jayden Daniels? Well, someone that knows a little bit about offensive football, former Redskins head coach Jay Gruden, had this to say about his expectations for Jayden Daniels in year one.
This is going to be a huge year for Jayden's confidence moving forward. Dan Quinn to get his culture established so he can get the right pieces in there. You got Armstrong from Dallas, so he's going to try to get the right pieces in there, the right leadership type guys.
Bobby Wagner
brought in here as a great leader for them. So those are the type of guys you need to bring in here and then continue to do that in the draft in the next coming years. Watch Jayden develop. But Cliff has got to do a good job, man, of getting this guy ready to play and protecting him. We don't want to just send guys running high corners and high crosses. And what's the protection? I don't know. Watch him run around and scramble, get his head beat in. Yeah. I want him protected. I want balls coming out of his hands quicker. I want him outside the pocket on some bootlegs, some max protection play action shot plays. I don't want a whole lot of empties where guys are coming free off the edge and him getting his head busted. So hopefully they'll do that for him. Hopefully their defense gets better. And that's where I think Dan Quinn, but he's got to do a better job because they had the worst rushing defense I've ever seen at Dallas last year. So hopefully he's fixed out.
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully he understands we can't have 205-pound linebackers playing there. Hopefully, they got Bobby Wagner, which will help. So they had a lot of holes. They've worked on filling the major holes, quarterback, offensive line, interior, tight end, corner. They really need help. So they're moving in the right direction. I'm excited to watch Jayden Daniels play. The biggest wild card in the draft is a starter. He can either be one of the most exciting players we've ever seen or we'll be like, he's not ready for prime time yet. So yeah. it's
one NFC extreme East, or the other. It's a lot of prime time.
A lot of good defense in the NFC East, too.
The tail end of what Gruden said there is what I'm most infatuated with here. He described Daniels as the most polarizing quarterback in the NFL draft in terms of what he could be as a starter. It's either going to be boom or bust. No middle ground for Jayden Daniels. And I'll be real with you. I kind of agree. Now, I don't really, and maybe this is just because I have surgically attached pom-poms for the team, I don't really see the scenario in which Jaden Daniels completely flames out. I think, as I continue to talk about, he has got the right mental makeup to fully grasp and understand what it means to be the quarterback of this team here in the nation's capital. It is not an easy job. I gave you all the stat last week. Washington has had 25 different starters at quarterback since 2002. Only three of them have a record of 500 or better. So there have been a lot of guys that have came and gone that thought, hey, I'm going to be the guy long-term here in Washington, and we all know how ultimately that played out. Some other things that stood out to me from Jay is the way he expects Daniels to be utilized. And I think anyone out there, as I said with David, anyone out there that thinks Washington is going to go out and drop back and throw the football 35, 40 times per contest, you are simply misinformed about what this group is going to be next year. I keep dubbing it, man. Somebody go on BreakingT.com, if our promotions manager is listening, and make me a damn T-shirt. Exotic Smash Mouth Football is how I expect us to describe this Washington Commanders offense next year. They're going to run the ball out of a bunch of different formations. You're going to see quarterback runs. You're going to see RPOs. You're going to see Austin Eckler lined up at wide receiver. You're going to see Brian Robinson lined up at wide receiver. One of my bigger takeaways from the first 2 days of camp is just how versatile this group can be offensively because of the different personnel groupings that you're going to see. You're going to see 13 personnel. You're going to see 12 personnel. Hell, you may see 14 personnel. So it is talking about one back, two or three tight ends, because they've got some interesting weapons in that room as well. Talking about Cole Turner, Armani Rogers, John Bates, Ben Sinnott, Zach Ertz. That's five guys I just rattled off at the tight end spot. You think all five of those guys are making the team? Probably not. So it's going to be an interesting position battle there as we work through camp as well. But something that I noticed today, like, the running backs are going to be heavily involved in this offense. Whether it's in the passing game, whether it's traditional handoffs, they are going to be used. I said it last year at season's end. Brian Robinson Jr. was this team's best offensive weapon a season ago. And some of you all, you know, get into a lather and get your panties into a wad because they sign Austin Eckler and you wonder, you know, how much he's got left in the tank. I think Austin Eckler is a super dynamic weapon. And let's just be transparent about the situation. His numbers over the past couple of years prove just how dynamic he is as a weapon. Last year, admittedly, a little bit of a down year. Year before that, 2022 and 2023, Austin Eckler had 25 touchdowns combined and over 1,800 yards rushing. And that's not even mentioning what he is able to do as a pass catcher. So he is someone that is dynamic as they come. But I happen to feel like Brian Robinson Jr., Washington's third-year running back, I think he's got the ability to emerge into a legit pass-catching option out of the backfield. The touchdown he had yesterday, posted it on my Twitter account. It was the play of the day from yesterday. Hell, dating back to last year's training camp, I thought he had the catch of camp. So, yes, I'm excited about Austin Eckler. Yes, I want them to run the football. But I don't want to see Austin Eckler take opportunities away from Brian Robinson Jr. That's just how I feel about it. David Harrison gave a number. He thinks 30 touches running and passing between the both of those two each contest. He may not be far-fetched. Final hour of power coming up here on this Thursday night edition of Overtime. When we get back, J.P. Acosta set to join the program. He covers the National Football League for SB Nation. We'll take a spin around the NFL and look at all the hot-button topics as we wrap up the opening week of training camp. That's next on The Fan. Still rocking and rolling here on this Thursday night edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest in Charge Movement. Linnell Willingham will take you up to 10 o'clock. before we dish things over to the Infinity Sports Network. Coming up in about 10, 15 minutes, our pal JP Acosta, who covers the NFL for SB Nation, is set to join us. We'll take a big picture look at the National Football League. The Washington Commanders, not the only team across the NFL that has officially reported for training camp. We'll take a pit stop and talk about the Giants. We'll talk about the Cowboys, as well as some of the other teams in the National Football League. I would say this about this year's NFL training camp and this year's NFL season in particular. It is the Kansas City Chiefs and everyone else. Patrick Mahomes and company looking to make history, trying to become the first team in NFL history to three-peat. And as I've said all offseason long, and A-Mac, I know this is going to bother you, I think the Jets are the biggest threat to the Kansas City Chiefs and their three-peat. And your New York Giants, my friend, they will be residing in the basement of the NFC East. Speaking of the NFC East, the hope is that the Washington Commanders, under new quarterback Jaden Daniels, can re-enter the fray as a perennial contender for that division crown. I think there's a lot of question marks, though, about exactly how this Cliff Kingsbury offense will function with Jaden Daniels at the controls. We know the track record that Cliff Kingsbury has with working with young quarterbacks across the NFL and in college. Baker Mayfield, Pat Mahomes, Kyler Murray, you name it, he has had success in each stop he's been with young signal callers. The big question is now, how does he ensure that he gets the most out of Jaden Daniels? Well, someone that knows a little bit about offensive football, former Redskins head coach Jay Gruden, had this to say about his expectations for Jaden Daniels in year one.
This is going to be a huge year for Jaden's confidence moving forward. Dan Quinn to get his culture established so he can get the right pieces in there. He got Armstrong from Dallas, so he's going to try to get the right pieces in there, the right leadership type guys.
Bobby Wagner, yeah.
Bobby Wagner brought in here is a great leader for them. So those are the type of guys you need to bring in here and then continue to do that in the draft in the next coming years. Watch Jaden develop. But Cliff has got to do a good job, man, of getting this guy ready to play and protecting him. We don't want to just send guys running high corners and high crosses. And what's the protection? I don't know. Watch him run around and scramble and get his head beat in. Yeah. I want him protected. I want balls coming out of his hands quicker. I want him outside the pocket on some bootlegs, some max protection play action shot plays. I don't want a whole lot of empties where guys are coming free off the edge and him getting his head busted. So hopefully they'll do that for him. Hopefully their defense gets better. And that's where I think Dan Quinn, but he's got to do a better job because they had the worst rushing defense I've ever seen at Dallas last year. So hopefully he's fixed
late.
Out.
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully he understands we can't have 205-pound linebackers playing there. Hopefully, they got Bobby Wagner, which will help. So they had a lot of holes. They've worked on filling the major holes, quarterback, offensive line, interior, tight end, corner. They really need help. So they're moving in the right direction. I'm excited to watch Jaden Daniels play. The biggest wild card in the draft is a starter. He can either be one of the most exciting players we've ever seen or we'll be like, he's not ready for prime time yet. So yeah. it's one
NFC
extreme
East,
or the other.
It's a lot of prime time.
A lot of good defense in the NFC East, too.
The tail end of what Gruden said there is what I'm most infatuated with here. He described Daniels as the most polarizing quarterback in the NFL draft in terms of what he could be as a starter. It's either going to be boom or bust. No middle ground for Jaden Daniels. And I'll be real with you. I kind of agree. Now, I don't really, and maybe this is just because I have surgically attached pom-poms for the team, I don't really see the scenario in which Jaden Daniels completely flames out. I think, as I continue to talk about, he has got the right mental makeup to fully grasp and understand what it means to be the quarterback of this team here in the nation's capital. It is not an easy job. I gave you all the stat last week. Washington has had 25 different starters at quarterback since 2002. Only three of them have a record of 500 or better. So there have been a lot of guys that have came and gone that thought, hey, I'm going to be the guy long-term here in Washington. And we all know how ultimately that played out. Some other things that stood out to me from Jay is the way he expects Daniels to be utilized. And I think anyone out there, as I said with David, anyone out there that thinks Washington is going to go out and drop back and throw the football 35, 40 times per contest, you are simply misinformed about what this group is going to be next year. I keep dubbing it, man. Somebody go on BreakingT.com, if our promotions manager is listening, and make me a damn T-shirt. Exotic Smash Mouth Football is how I expect us to describe this Washington Commanders offense next year. They're going to run the ball out of a bunch of different formations. You're going to see quarterback runs. You're going to see RPOs. You're going to see Austin Eckler lined up at wide receiver. You're going to see Brian Robinson lined up at wide receiver. One of my bigger takeaways from the first 2 days of camp is just how versatile this group can be offensively because of the different personnel groupings that you're going to see. You're going to see 13 personnel. You're going to see 12 personnel. Hell, you may see 14 personnel. So it is talking about one back, two or three tight ends, because they've got some interesting weapons in that room as well. Talking about Cole Turner, Armani Rogers, John Bates, Ben Sinnott, Zach Ertz. That's five guys I just rattled off at the tight end spot. You think all five of those guys are making the team? Probably not. So it's going to be an interesting position battle there as we work through camp as well. But something that I noticed today, like, the running backs are going to be heavily involved in this offense. Whether it's in the passing game, whether it's traditional handoffs, they are going to be used. I said it last year at season's end. Brian Robinson Jr. was this team's best offensive weapon a season ago. And some of you all, you know, get into a lather and get your panties into a wad because they sign Austin Eckler and you wonder, you know, how much he's got left in the tank. I think Austin Eckler is a super dynamic weapon. And let's just be transparent about the situation. His numbers over the past couple of years prove just how dynamic he is as a weapon. Last year, admittedly, a little bit of a down year. Year before that, 2022 and 2023, Austin Eckler had 25 touchdowns combined and over 1,800 yards rushing. And that's not even mentioning what he is able to do as a pass catcher. So he is someone that is dynamic as they come. But I happen to feel like Brian Robinson Jr., Washington's third-year running back, I think he's got the ability to emerge into a legit pass-catching option out of the backfield. The touchdown he had yesterday, posted it on my Twitter account. It was the play of the day from yesterday. Hell, dating back to last year's training camp, I thought he had to catch a camp. So, yes, I'm excited about Austin Eckler. Yes, I want them to run the football. But I don't want to see Austin Eckler take opportunities away from Brian Robinson Jr. That's just how I feel about it. David Harrison gave a number. He thinks 30 touches running and passing between the both of those two each contest. He may not be far-fetched. He may not be far-fetched. Final hour of power coming up here on this Thursday night edition of Overtime. When we get back, J.P. Acosta set to join the program. He covers the National Football League for SB Nation. We'll take a spin around the NFL and look at all the hot-button topics as we wrap up the opening week of training camp. That's next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.